There's a hotel in San Francisco called the Sanford Hotel, and it reported that in the 15 years that it had Bibles in every room, not one Bible was taken from the room. But then for some reason, they also put dictionaries in each room, maybe so that people could understand the Bible. I don't know why. But supposedly, the same hotel said that after they put the dictionaries into the room, that within a year, 41 of the dictionaries were stolen. Now, I'm not quite sure what the conclusion is here. Maybe people put greater value on human words than the Word of God, or it might be that people have a sense of guilt. I better not steal the Bible because then God's going to get me. So here it is. There are all these human words. The Webster's Dictionary is pretty big. You know, you probably put it next to the Bible, you put it on a scale, and they might weigh about the same thing. But the question is, which word is going to be most important in our lives? Is it going to be human words, or is it going to be the Word of God? As we think of our scriptures today, here we have in the gospel this very peculiar text where the religious leaders think, well, Jesus can't be the Messiah because he's from Galilee in the north, and we all know that the Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem. Now, of course, they didn't have the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of St. Matthew, so that they didn't know that Jesus actually did come from Bethlehem. But we see right here in the Gospel of St. John the different responses to Jesus. Some say he's a prophet. Others said that, yes, indeed, he is the Messiah. And then the religious leaders said, well, no, he's an imposter. He's a fraud. But isn't it interesting what the temple police say? No one has ever spoken words like this before. And so it's always the case. How are people going to respond to the one who is the Word of God, Jesus Christ? Jeremiah, one of the great Old Testament prophets, speaks of how in his own life that he says, God, I don't want to speak for you because whenever I open my mouth, I seem to get into trouble. But he says, your word, Lord, is like an ember burning in my soul. And if I keep quiet, I have to speak out. And so Jeremiah, as the prophet of God, speaks to us in today's reading about how people responded to him. Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from there. The land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. In other words, what people were saying to Jeremiah is, shut up. We do not want to listen to you. We do not want to hear the word that is coming from you. And then there are these words that Jeremiah speaks. And there's a very interesting parallel that in a very special and unique way, Jeremiah as an Old Testament prophet anticipates the coming of the true king, Jesus himself. And listen to what Jeremiah says about himself. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. Is this ringing any bells? Who else is like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter? Of course, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah goes on to say, I did not know it was against me that they devise schemes. So do you see the beauty of our Holy Scripture? Here is Jeremiah living 600 years before Jesus. And how in the Gospel of John, we see the unfolding of the scheme that is devised by the religious authorities. So what does this all mean for us? Well, each one of us, beloved, is asked to consider, who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he a prophet? Many people believe that. Indeed, within Islam, this is the understanding they have of Jesus, that he is the second greatest prophet next to Muhammad. Is he an imposter, a fraud, someone who maybe should be ignored or should be railed against in a very active way? Or are we those who are able to say, never has anyone spoken like this? It's remarkable, isn't it, that Jeremiah lived 2,600 years ago. And yet on this day, wherever Mass is said around the world, his words are being read today. Those who wanted to shut him up and close him off were not able to do so because God's word continues to speak. And what about Jesus, the true lamb, to be led like a lamb to the slaughter? No words have been read more. No words have been written about Jesus. No more words have been written about Jesus than anyone else. And think about how Jesus has been depicted in the words of music, in the words of literature, in the art of our world. Words, they're so important. I've been very moved this week by Hilda and George, who have been coming to our church every day with friends of theirs to pray a 9-day novena for their beloved Maria. Maria died 2 weeks ago today at the age of 16. And a week ago Thursday, I was privileged to celebrate her funeral mass. And so to think for the two of you as grieving parents, how you have been able to grieve publicly with the support of your family and your friends, that if all we had to go by were human words, Maria's death would be meaningless. But because we have the living word, Jesus Christ himself, that although nothing can take away the pain that those of you who are grieving her death are feeling, that pain has a context in which to be understood, in the context of the one who is the living word, Jesus Christ. And so all of us, beloved friends, live in this world, a world where we do not know what tomorrow will bring, a world in which we can be surprised by great joy, but also be visited with great hardship and pain. And what the Lord God wants for all of us is what a later prophet, Ezekiel, said when he wrote, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Such a heart thrills to read the word. Even more so, such a heart thrills to receive the living word, Jesus Christ, as he comes to us in the sacrament of his body and blood. So Hilda and George, thank you for giving us, the parish of St. Peter's, the privilege to journey with you over these last 9 days. And as you continue your Lenten journey, and of all of us continue our Lenten journeys, may we pray for an even greater receptivity to the living word, Jesus Christ. And while we would never want to steal the Bible from the Sanford Hotel or from any other hotel for that matter, I don't think actually there are very many Bibles left in hotels, but you know, if there are, don't steal it. But what I would invite you to do is to find times where you will steal away to read the most important book of them all, the living word of God found in Holy Scripture.